comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. We're here because you have a right to know and because you matter. Regular listeners to this show will already know the story about Command Sergeant Major James Norton. He is the second man to step forward and talk about an alleged battle between UFOs and the U.S. Army that is said to have took place in 1977 at Fort Benning. You'll also be aware of the very sudden and strange circumstances of his death on November the 21st. He was the second man to step forward and talk about it. The first man to come forward and talk about that event is John Vasquez. In fact, John published a book about it and has been a guest on this show a number of times. I was notified today by a friend of John Vasquez that he, John Vasquez, is in the hospital having suffered a stroke. I wish to express my very best wishes to John and my hopes for his speedy recovery. The U.S. Senate on Tuesday passed a bill that gives the U.S. military the authority to arrest anyone anywhere if they suspect them of being involved in terrorism in any way. And that includes inside the USA, with the U.S. Senate having officially identified the United States of America as a battlefield. This bill also states that it is legal for such prisoners to be held indefinitely without charges or trial. There is an exception for U.S. citizens. However, if you're being held without charges, without trial, you have no hearing in which you can prove you are a U.S. citizen. Well, it was a great country while we had a constitution. You elected them, America, and if your pattern holds true, you're about to re-elect them. So, I guess you just have to like it. Join our members' community and get all the goodies that go with it. You really should. The members community here at the Kevin Smith Show has lots of stuff like our archives. We call them K-Pods. You get your own blog, your own photo album, your own friends page, your own video album, forums, chat, special broadcasts for the members community. And you get to watch the shows live every night. You get to watch the shows live every night. You just can't beat it at only $7.50 a month. That comes to a grand total of 25 cents a day. So you really ought to join right now. I'll give you the first 7 days for free. But you need to do this right away because that special offer is going away very soon. It was a limited time offer and the time is drawing nigh. It is coming and we will stop offering the 7 days for free. So be a genius and do it tonight. We'll be back right after this. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And my guest this evening is Brad Johnson. Now, he's familiar to a lot of you because I've gotten some emails. Once you found out that Brad was going to be on the show, I got some emails from several of you saying, boy, that's great. I'm glad you're going to have Brad on the show. Brad Johnson could best be summarized as a facilitator for higher consciousness. He's based in the city of Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada. He's pursued this path of spiritual awakening since August of 2008. And we're going to invite him to tell us what caused that. I do know, but I think it's pretty novel. And I want him to tell us about it. But it literally catapulted him into an intense change in his personal lifestyle, achieving deep states of meditation and receiving telepathic downloads from non-physical beings in his dreams. Brad began to radically transform his entire perception of reality as he was being taught profound methods on what exists beyond the confines of this reality. I met him while I was at the Alchemy event out in Los Angeles, and in fact, I interviewed him briefly. Indy 104 was there doing a live remote, and so we did our interview live on Indy 104. Brad, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. We're delighted to have you here.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you again.
Brad, you had kind of an interesting start on this path.
Yes.
Tell us what it is that catapulted you, that got you started.
Well, it really all began with a science fiction novel. That's really how it began. I wanted to create a science fiction novel that was as real as possible in regards to knowing about the extraterrestrial presence. I wanted just to make it almost like a science fiction nonfiction, so to speak. And so through this intention of going deeper into investigating this novel, getting research done, and just looking on such sites as YouTube, etc., I started looking into a lot of contactees who have had extraterrestrial experiences. I started looking at a lot of different forms of former Black Ops personnel. And what I discovered through a redundant commonality was that each and every single one of them saw that extraterrestrials and spirituality had a lot in common. The extraterrestrials that are out there believe in a one infinite creator, and they were very, very spiritual. In fact, there is actually some testimony, documentation, that has been found through many different experts that almost relate to these extraterrestrials, these human extraterrestrials, as a-hole hippies from outer space. And so I just found this very, very fascinating. I always found it very, very unbelievable that, you know, something that I've pursued my whole life, even as a little kid, I was just so interested in about ETs and aliens. And, you know, we all think that there are these, you know, double-jawed, super long-headed, you know, creatures that bleed acid or something like that, when in fact, they really are just like they are human beings. And so that's really just fascinating to me, but more in the sense of spirituality. You know, I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, and I was in that religion for about 16 to 17 years, but I just absolutely could not stand it. And so I really had a bit of a stagnation period after leaving it, you know, not wanting to have anything to do with religion. I knew that there was a one and creator. I knew that something had to create all this, but I just didn't believe it was this bearded guy sitting in the clouds ready to pitch a lightning bolt at you, you know, if you feel that you've stepped out of line. And so this science fiction novel I decided to put on hold, and I wanted to explore more in regards to spirituality. I wanted to dive more into meditation, and so I just took out a book at a local library, learned how to meditate, read it from front cover to back cover in just about 4 or 5 days, and I started doing a lot of the techniques through that. And through that, the very first time I was doing meditation, I was able to go very, very deep and literally just start to feel all these jolts, all these sensations, all these tingling feelings coming through me, and something was being unlocked. And this is just what got me to strive toward it more, create more of an expansion, and actually meet other people, you know, online and in person that were going through very similar things. I started meeting intuitives, psychics, channelers, healers, started going into channeling, just kind of looking at it as an observer first, and just, you know, watching all these other people doing these amazing things and getting this amazing information, it was just like a filling cup of knowledge. Everything just exploded. It was a spark in me that ignited. And there is really no rational way I can say exactly how this all began, other than the feeling of just like a spark going off and just a complete 180-degree turn of my lifestyle and more of a spiritual context regarding to channeling, meditation, healing, and
but this was something that almost you would have to say almost it sort of accidentally you wandered into it.
In a way, you could say that.
I know that's not precisely correct, but
for a reason, and this is exactly how it occurred.
Uh huh. Now you still have sort of a science fiction and sort of a sharp, wry sense of humor thing going with some videos, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. That was actually part of one of my previous jobs, I guess you could say. I was actually a writer, writing some scripts for independent companies. I was even writing some sitcoms as well, too, to be published on HBO. They never saw the light of day, but that definitely was an intention.
I saw some of those videos today, and they're hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, very well done.
It's always just, I always have that good kind of sense of humor. And again, that's kind of the best thing as well, too, is when you know you're doing this kind of work, to have a sense of humor and to really be funny about it. Because, you know, a lot of people do want to get serious about it, and because there is a lot of serious stuff going on, you know, you really have to laugh at it in a way as well, too, because it really just is part of a reality that we're just starting to understand.
Okay, now, you mentioned channeling. And I'm you are the official channel for the extraterrestrial entity known as Adronis, the multidimensional mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I have a lot of questions, but the very first one you may think is a silly question. It's not. I really want to know.
Okay.
I have talked with a number of channelers. I don't have very many on this show, and I think for obvious reasons, in that for most of the channelers, there's absolutely no way we can get any corroborative evidence or testimony, but some we can. And so, I mean, you know, it's the sort of thing that's just way too easy for somebody to hoax. However, every single channeler is channeling an entity whose name either comes right out of science fiction cartoon books or their name is Latin or Greek. I've never yet met a channeler who's channeling Mike.
That's very true.
Why is that?
I think the closest approximation would have to be back in the 1970s, I believe, with Jane Roberts channeling some Seth. And I think that's the closest approximation that I've actually seen in regards to a kind of, I guess you could say, a human-like name.
Why is it? Why do all these guys have Latin or Greek names?
Well, a lot of them relate to particular forms of incarnations. They relate to experiences that are figured in a way of adapting to the channel, so that this information can be brought out. There's a particular theme in relation to their names that actually, you know, produces this energy, and in that sense kind of relates to a compatibility to the channel to actually share the information in context to what they're talking about.
Okay, tell us about Adronis.
Well, Adronis itself, the name itself is, I always thought it was kind of interesting as well, too. Basically, what I discovered was that the name of Adronis was actually a combination of different kinds of quote-unquote identities that I've literally had in other places that could relate to like a soul name. And so Adronis himself relates to that of what's known as a Sirian consciousness. He exists in what's known as the fifth density of Sirius. And of course, what this is the feeling of a light body consciousness, that he literally just exists within the higher astral realm. It's like if we were to go off in the dream state at night, and of course we just have this absolutely magnificent dream, it was so beautiful, it was so outstanding, that could be the personification of the realm to where he exists. But the thing that really Adronis talks about is that it's not really about, you know, take everything for granted with what he says to be truth. You know, when you're dealing with Shaolin, you are dealing with a lot of intangibles, and it really is about a self-exploration. You know, and you're absolutely right when you're saying, you know, there's not a lot of corroboration, a lot of data that can come out through Shaolin. That's absolutely correct. Because really, Shaolin deals with the intangible, and you're really dealing with something with a realm that's truly beyond reality. And, you know, a lot of people have a hard time accepting that. And the only way you're ever going to truly, you know, vibrate in resonance, I guess you could say, or really resonate with any kind of information that comes from a channel is when you just really start to have these experiences yourself. So everything else that comes through Adronis, you know, what is known as a dimensional mentor, really just is perspective. And it's just the same as if someone was to walk down the street to you and saying, oh, hey, I absolutely love that green shirt. Do you know green is the color of your heart chakra? And so if you allow your heart chakra to shine, you'll have a great day. Now, you could look at that person and say, he's crazy as heck. Or you could say, you know what, that's a really interesting idea. Thank you very much for that perspective. And that's all really it is. You know, there's a lot of channelers that want you to buy into that stuff. You know, really, from my perspective, you know, this information is there. It's completely up to you to accept it or reject it, because it's something that can help. But if you feel you don't want to, and if you want something more collaborative, then, of course, that's always the option. You know, you are the one that's in charge, and you always will be.
All right, now, when we talked out in Los Angeles, your background, your religious background, is not something that came up, so I didn't know that. And that causes me to have a question. Because of your religious background, you will be familiar with various religious teachings about demons and how they disguise themselves as angels of light.
Yeah.
All right, so the question that I have about that is, how can you know that the entity that you are channeling is not something evil? How can you know that it's something good?
Yeah, and again, that's a very important question too. It's very, very important to understand that a lot of the information that comes through is something that personally resonates with you that could symbolize a truth. You know, there's always that risk of someone who wants to get into a channeling state that feels that they're connecting with an entity that may want to praise them like they're the next Messiah, that really want to praise them and saying that, you know, you're the savior of the planet. It's up to you to do this. From my perspective, everything that I have done has always been a take-it-or-leave-it situation, has always been information that has truly benefited myself in the way that represents a empowerment rather than the idea of feeling that, oh, but this is how it has to be or else. And I think if you're really dealing with entities that say, this is something you should really look into, if not, this could be the consequence. And so when there's catches, when there's, you know, when there's kind of catch-22s, and there's those pulls and feeling that, you know, you feel that you're the next Messiah and all that, I would always warn caution with that, because that's something that someone's putting you on a pedestal. And again, it even goes beyond the channeling beings as well, too. I mean, we have a lot of people like that just walking each day and each day saying, oh, my goodness, you know, this guy is so great and he's so amazing. I can't wait till he shows up here. Oh, my goodness, I'm on the highest pedestal possible. So really, if you can look at information that is very, very neutral to saying that you can accept or reject it, and that you can look at something that really represents a resonance within yourself that feels empowering, that you know through your own self that resonates truth, that resonates, you know, something that just brings out the best in you, from my perspective, only from what I can share, that's the grandest gift you could ever be given.
Have you ever, in your meditation or in your astral travels, have you ever run into entities that you thought were evil?
Not at all. Not once. Mm-hmm. And Blue and I know some people who have, but from my own travels, I guess you could say, my own explorations into self and understanding more of the natural mechanics of the universe and just getting to understand this profound discovery within myself, I have not once met any being that would want to create manipulation or feel that they want to control you or feel that, you know, you have to do this or else. There have been no consequences in regards to the information coming to you.
When was the first time you realized you were in contact with an off-Earth entity?
The first time I would say was, the first time I would say when I was actually in contact was when I was learning automatic writing to communicate with the drones for the very first time. There is a technique in channeling which is called test entities, and really just asking questions that you don't naturally know consciously, and just looking to receive insight in regards to questions that may literally just blow your mind. And so that was the first time where I, in that sense, got into the mentality of testing the entity, just saying, okay, can you tell me more about Sirius, or can you tell me more about yourself? And just the immense detail of the answers that literally came up instantaneously. There was no thought in that sense. It was an instantaneous response where you're just immediately having this urge to write. There's no time to think, and you're literally just writing these 2, 3, 4, 5 huge paragraphs of data that you just could not possibly imagine came so quickly and so spontaneously. And again, I just know how I think. If it was something for me to imagine, you know, I'm kind of just putting my pen to my lip and just thinking for a few seconds, what if I said this? What if I said that? And it was none of that. It was just completely instantaneous, completely spontaneous, and just writing this huge plethora of information that just no one could have literally have done within the span of time it did. You know, it was just absolutely incredible. To me, that felt like the perspective, the feeling that this was something genuine happening.
Okay, so you get all this information. For instance, tell me more about Sirius, and so you get all this information about Sirius. How can you check that and see if it's true, see if it's real?
Well, I mean, there are some things where you can literally corroborate with other people to see exactly, you know, what they have come up with. Really, there is no way that you can, other than the idea of just looking to self-explore it. In regard to dreams, you can self-explore it through meditation. But again, these are intangibles that we're looking at. And you can always look at that with certain information that you know perhaps can't be proven in the physical. But however, it's such a knowingness, and it's just something that really just does pique a curiosity within yourself and saying that, yes, I know I can prove this. I know for a fact that, you know, I can't, you know, hop on a spaceship and go over to Sirius and check out and see how many planets there are, etc. No, we can't do that right now, of course. But, you know, right now you're just looking at it as an interest, and you're looking at it as a curiosity that every particular form of insight that you're receiving within yourself holds some form of bit. It may not be something to where the tangibility of it can hold a validity, but it's something else that relates such an interest that kind of keeps you in the back of your mind to realize there's a feeling here that there's just that essence of saying that we're not.
I hate to cut you off, but we have to. We have a break taking over. We'll pick up there, though, when we come back. And we will be back right after this.
Listening to The Kevin Smith Show, also known as the world's hottest talk show host.
Welcome back to the world's hottest talk show, and I am Kevin Smith, the world's hottest talk show host, and we are talking with Brad Johnson this evening. Now, Brad, I had to cut you off in mid-sentence. I want to give you the chance to finish your thought, but then I've got a question for you about reality.
All right. Yeah, I'm just trying to remember where I left off here. But, yeah, it's basically when you were talking about, you know, how can we prove that, you know, Sirius exists the way it exists, you know, what...
Well, how can you yourself corroborate the information this entity gives you is basically
exactly.
The question.
That's
yeah.
The truth. And, yeah, that's the key, really, is that when you start to receive channeled information, you're looking at particular forms of information that really go beyond proving it past tangibility. And, you know, it's almost like that feeling to where you're receiving all this information that relates to intangibility, that it opens up other parts of yourself. It opens up other areas to where you're kind of expanding yourself, looking beyond physical reality. And I think that's the reason why a lot of these entities, so to speak, that are communicating with us are telling us these particular forms of ideas and understandings that truly go beyond our grasp of physical reality. Because physical reality, in that sense, is the canvas that we're seeing all around us, what we can see, smell, taste, touch, and hear. But when you're actually looking to these particular forms of intangibles altogether, you're understanding that there's more to the reality. And so it always...
Well, see, you just said what I was going to ask.
Something proof.
Yeah, you just said the answer to what I was going to pose. And here's the point. Many people talk about, well, there's this reality, but there are also many other realities. And I say, no, there's not. There's only reality. Now, we exist in a situation where we have defined some confines. I call it sync reality. And it's C-I-N-C for five. Five senses. Sync sensual reality. And we think, well, okay, if I can sense it with any of those, then it's reality. Okay. But I say that all reality, whether we can sense it or not, exists within the same reality. For instance, you have infrared. And you have ultraviolet light. You can't sense them with your physical senses. You can't, and yet we can prove they exist. And they exist right here, quote, in our reality, even though we can't sense them. And I would say that anything that is reality exists right here, right now, whether I can sense it or not. What do you think about that? Am I off track with that?
Well, no, that's exactly the key right now, is that, you know, really there many people would say, well, you know, there's many realities. But, I mean, in that sense, the many reality in that sense combines into what you're experiencing right now, here in this very moment. Really all there is just this moment. And so there's always going to be different forms of spectrums that we may not be currently aware of. We're looking into, like you said, infrared or ultraviolet. We know that that exists. However, we're not able to tune into that spectrum to realize, oh my goodness, now I can see into infrared. Oh my goodness, now I can see into ultraviolet. So, well, what if we were looking at a particular spectrum that exists that we may not be aware of that shows us another particular veil that's being released that shows us a reality beyond reality? It's almost like another spectrum that, again, moves into that band. But what we're doing right now is looking to calibrate, coordinate ourselves to actually thinking more into that level that moves beyond a spectrum we can possibly imagine. In that sense, a true reality.
Okay, so is that what's happening when you do astral travel?
I haven't personally astro-traveled, but, you know, if you could do, say, for example, lucid dreaming, which I have done, isn't that somewhat similar?
Okay, so at that point, what you're doing is you are looking into those spectrum that we don't normally sense. Is that it?
That's right. That's correct.
All right, so what benefit is there? I mean, why should anybody, we're talking to millions of people right now in many, many countries around the world. Well, why should anybody out there look at this higher consciousness, lucid dreaming, even astral travel, channeling? Why should they look at this and say, that's what I want to do. That's good for me. What benefit is there to them?
Well, it's that ultimate question of saying, how much do you not know that you want to know? In that sense, that's a paradox. And so everything that we feel we know right now really is only the limit or a fraction of something that truly exists beyond a spectrum, beyond understanding. And so the idea of lucid dreaming or channeling or looking into Akashic records or looking into anything that represents that other spectrum of reality simply represents the ability, the wonder of wanting to know more of what I am already unaware of. I want to bring aware to unawareness. So in that sense, it's the paradox that creates the infinite understanding and wonder that wants to help, that wants to fuel, that wants to gauge into that ponderance of someone wanting to go beyond what they feel they know to to actually know that there's more to this picture. It's almost like looking at a puzzle that in that sense feels incomplete. We know that there's a lot going on this planet, and we know that there's a lot happening now, but we're just looking to see if there's more to that puzzle. Is there another angle we can see that puzzle in? Are there more pieces of the puzzle that we can retrieve through other spectrums that we can help put together to actually see a grand picture?
Okay. Now, I think you would agree that regardless of how far a person goes into this, eventually the reality that their feet are on Earth takes hold, and they do have to live here amongst the unwashed masses. So the question I would have is, since you've been involved with this, now, you still live here on the planet. You still have to get up every day and deal with all these folks who don't have a clue about all of this. How has this changed your life, and how has it made it better or more difficult?
It has actually made it a lot better, a lot more recently. There were times to where I was kind of waking up and I was just confused. I was always looking in the mirror and saying, what should I do with myself? You know, I'm receiving all this information, and it's life-changing, and it's groundbreaking, and it's something that's helping me, again, explore a whole new spectrum. But what am I to do with it? What is it that I'm going to do? How do I share this information? And it really was the time where I had to kind of lock myself up in solitude and really just get to understand, you know, what I'm receiving here, why I'm receiving it, and how I can present it to somebody else to really get an understanding. And I feel that the best way for you to present this to anybody else is when you first try to understand it to the best of your ability, that what's happening to you is for a purpose, and trying to grasp the concept of why this is occurring to you. It's like people who want to go out and they want to assist and they want to help other people, and that's great. But the thing is, you know, how much can you really help a person if you feel that you're struggling with this yourself? And so it has really gotten a lot more easier, because I really have, I guess you could say, spent a lot of me just getting to understand exactly what I'm going through, and, of course, putting into concepts that have some form of sensicalness to it, to show exactly what I'm going through, and, of course, share experiences with other people of like mind who are really going through very similar experiences to me. And I think that when you attract that feeling of, you know, what you're going through and all this information that's coming through, you start to attract other people that come into your life, and you guys talk about it together. And I think when you really work together in a group as well, too, when there's people of like mind having this, it just expands you exponentially, and it becomes a lot easier. And through this time, it has been become a lot more easier for me to get up in front of an audience and talk about all of this of what I've been experiencing. Because then again, you find people of like mind in unison.
All right. One of the things that your biographical sketch talks about, it says that you began receiving telepathic downloads from non-physical beings in your dreams. Give us an example of what gets downloaded.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, yeah, one particular example I can give was when I was sleeping in the middle of the night. I literally woke up about 3 a.m. Grabbing my tape recorder and just recording exactly what I went through. It literally felt like I was just in this realm of light, and I was literally just confronted by this being that literally looked like a chandelier. It was connected to the entire light itself. There was no distinction. It felt like there was this gigantic energetic cord that was attached directly to me, and I was literally just getting this flow of complete unconditional love. There were no words to really describe it. It was just a feeling to where, I guess the best way you could put it is when a mother loves and cuddles her newborn baby. It was just that kind of feeling to where you're understanding a stream of oneness, you're understanding a stream of togetherness, and you're kind of seeing in an interpretation all of the planet, everybody that exists on the planet, all the animals, everything that's there, just connected and corded, and how the planet itself is corded and connected to the stars, and how the stars are corded and connected to the galaxy. And it just keeps going on and on and on in this infinite understanding. And there's no words for that. There really just is no way you can put that into terms that's understandable. Even just with me trying to explain it right now, it doesn't do it justice to how absolutely phenomenal and amazing and just knowing this, to know that we're all connected, that we're all part of the whole. You can't do it justice by words, but it was the most exceptional feeling I've ever felt. And it's just through those particular forms of beings that you get knowingness. And that's the only way I can really share in regards to what these downloads are, is you're receiving knowingness in regards to the universe, in regards to how everything is one, in regards to how, you know, there is life that exists out there, and it's an endless ocean. And again, it continues to go on and on and on. Very, very frequently I get these particular forms of feelings, and that's really how I can put them. No words to describe the feelings you get from these downloads, from these knowingnesses, that really come through just to help you get an understanding more about that spectrum that you're looking to achieve, connect to.
Have you ever received a download that was more information than just experience? I don't mean just experience as a diminutive, but I mean only experience as a download is one thing, or mm-hmm. an experience, but information comes with it is would be another thing. Have you had that happen?
Yes, I do get information quite a bit. Because what I do is I do readings for people and sessions for people, and there's times to where I'm literally connected and just start getting all this immediate rushes. It's almost like as if you were to hold someone's hand and you're like getting a movie, like a trailer coming through your mind right now, just giving you all this information about who this person is, what they're all about, their emotional states, what blockages they're carrying around right now, et cetera, et cetera. And so that, in that sense, can be information, but it is like kind of a download that you're just trying to almost freeze frame in a particular moment to try and get an understanding of, you know, what they're going through or the question that they've asked. This, again, happens very, very often when I'm channeling Adronis, too, is that information starts coming in. Adronis has talked about, again, other things that could not be quite tangible, but again, just sold a lot of interest. He has talked about, you know, the moon of Titan, actually the Titan moon of Saturn, in that sense, broadcasting radio transmissions through a lot of different civilizations that are monitoring our planet right now, in that sense of coordinations. He has talked about stargates and the way the sun is going on right now with all of the spheroid type shifts that have been coming out of it, in that sense acts as a stargate. There's a huge plethora of information, but again, it's trying to receive a film trailer and pausing in a frame just to understand that particular concept in that particular moment based upon the question asked.
All right, we have to step away for break, and we shall return right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Brad Johnson. We're talking about things pertaining to higher consciousness. And, something, though, Brad, I think really we ought to kind of define what are we talking about by higher consciousness. I mean, we have some folks, I'm sure, that are saying, look, you're either conscious or you're not.
Yeah, exactly. What you could consider higher consciousness is not in the form of a superiority, but again, it's kind of going back to that saying that I said earlier, that how much are you willing to be aware of the unaware? And basically, higher consciousness itself simply relates to that state of higher awareness. So even though you're kind of starting into the idea of a bubble that remains to a stagnancy, and you're just kind of being very, very aware of the physical reality, you may not be aware of ultraviolet, you may not be aware of infrared in that sense, but you're trying to get a grasp of it. You're trying to understand, what would it be like? What could I imagine of all these spectrums, all spectrums that exist in reality right now? How could I get to that level? But again, as we know, that time is an illusion, that, you know, everything truly exists right now, here in this moment. The higher consciousness itself is the idea of what you would consider to be expansion. And so all you're doing is you're looking to go to those expanded levels that represent higher consciousness, almost what you would consider to be the state of the all-knowing. And so when you represent a state of all-knowing, that can represent that to the degree of higher consciousness.
As you were talking, you were describing something that sounds very much like something that Albert Einstein said. Albert Einstein tried to imagine being a photon traveling at the speed of light. What does the photon see and experience? I wonder, do you think maybe he was sort of into higher consciousness?
I would imagine so, given a lot of the, you know, the understandings of Albert Einstein, that he was very philosophical as well, too, not just with, you know, his brilliant mind with physics, but I mean, he was very, very deep into philosophy and very, very deep into that feeling of higher consciousness, actually through him that was saying that, you know, if we use the full capacity of our brains, we wouldn't even have bodies. And so it's really looking into that instance of saying that, you know, someone like that, who is, again, very, very tangible and very into the mathematics and physics itself, still had that side. And again, that's what you could call a state of balance, is that you're, you know, you're really, really gifted with, you know, the full aspects of mathematics and physics, and you really have a good, strong grasp of the tangibility. But you're also looking for that other part, because if all you're going to focus on is tangibility, then you're missing the grand equation. You know, you are so much more than what you could consider to be. Again, that's proof by knowing exactly how you're aware of right now. There's a lot that you do know, but there's still a lot that you don't know. And helping to know more of what you don't know moves into the imagination. It moves more into that conduit of understanding that expansion itself comes from almost making that leap of faith into looking at all the spectrums, into seeing that there are spectrums out there that I still haven't grasped. And how exactly can I feel, for the best of my imagination, can I get some grasp just to wonder, just to take that leap of faith and take that next step and to realize there's still so much more that I don't know. So in that sense, that represents the spark of expansion.
Now, you mentioned before the break that Adranus had said to you in channeling something about Saturn's moon Titan and transmissions or radio signals or something coming from there. Did Adranus tell you that Titan is inhabited?
Yes, he has. He has certainly told it. It's in that sense working as a base. He hasn't given too much detail into that. It has been, in that sense, touched upon from what I can remember as well, that it does function as a base and that it is actually, in that sense, an inhabitable sphere that actually can produce life.
So it's a base for whom?
The sense that I got from it was that it represents beings that, in that sense, represent our highest interest at heart. It's almost like monitoring stations. There are certain monitoring stations across the solar system where certain organizations, certain groups that are helping in their own way, I guess you could say, behind the scenes, are looking to provide, you know, information, helping to coordinate certain things, certain happenings. But they're, again, they still kind of have a hands-off policy. What's really, really talked about very, very commonly is what's known as a quarantine shield, you know, a quarantine veil. It's almost like Star Trek, where you have the prime directives. A lot of civilizations aren't able to interfere in the development of a civilization to maturity. And basically, a lot of these particular monitoring stations, in their own way, what are their exact purposes? That's something I can't even really answer right now. But they truly represent a coordination. It's almost like looking at nodes and just looking at exactly how some of these coordinated efforts are being brought in to assist with, you know, who knows what. Maybe it's organization of a certain form of alignments. From what I've been told, of course, you know, a lot of these races themselves literally have the technology to manufacture a solar system. And so, I mean, who can really say what that is about? But from a lot of the information, there's so much about our solar system that we still don't know a lot about, that they're kind of just throwing little breadcrumbs here and there and saying, oh, did you know about this? Did you know about that? And it really just is amazing once you kind of tap into that. And, of course, you find corroboration with a lot of black ops personnel, ex-military that come forward and share a lot of this information in that sense, coordinate with this.
All right. Now, you also said that Adranus told you something about these ships that are seem to be coming out of the sun. What did Adranus tell you about that?
Basically, what he had is that the sun is a natural stargate, that a lot of the particular eruptions that come out of the sun relate to exit apertures from other ships, I guess you could say, other spheroid craft that are literally planetary in size, that are literally just shooting out of the sun. And, of course, this creates a lot of coronal mass ejections. It's not the only thing that creates it, but it is one of them. And a lot of these ships, in that sense, simply relate to, again, part of that coordination effort. Again, it's hard to say who is on those ships. Are those ships benevolent? You know, are those beings there? Are they, you know, exactly. It's still trying to figure a lot of it out because there's so much of it out there. I mean, he's literally said that there's, you know, there's thousands upon thousands of ships out there. And, you know, some of them do hold our best interests in heart. Some of them don't. It really depends on, you know, who you're talking about and, you know, whose agenda is on top of whose agenda, you know, what's happening here and there. And so it really is a mixed bag of different forms. Some beings are just around our Earth right now just to be observers, just check out Earth. What's Earth like? How's it going? You know, and then, of course, stationing up in the solar system again, looking for some form of coordination, I imagine.
That's some heavy stuff. Now, Adranus is Sirian, is that right?
That's correct.
One of the things that we've heard, and of course, for most of us, there's no way for us to ever corroborate this type of information, but we have heard this over the years, that the Sirians are reptilian and that the reptilians generally do not have our best interest at heart. How much truth is there in
basically,
that?
Yeah, basically what has happened is that through Sirius there are a majority of different civilizations there, of different races. Some of them do relate to reptilians that could exist in Sirius B. Some are even, in that sense, feline in origin. Some of them are human as well, too. So, I mean, from what I've been told from Adranus is that Sirius B could almost be like the New York City of the of their star system. It's just bustling with activity, and there's a whole load of different races there. I've always been very, very adamant about people that say, oh, my God, the reptilians and the reptilians are that. You really have to understand that it has to do with rogue groups. I mean, really look at the idea of humans. I mean, that would really be for a civilization to look at us and say, oh, my God, look at these humans. They're completely irresponsible. They don't know how to take care of the planet. They don't know who they are. They don't know how to take care of each other. But, again, you're generalizing everything about ourselves, and a lot of us are taking responsibility and are really starting to understand ourselves. And so I've always come to look at the idea that there is always this bit of cosmic racism that comes out of it. Are there reptilians out there that are rogue and that have their own particular agendas at heart? Absolutely. Are there reptilians out there that really do hold best interests at heart, want to assist alongside to what humanity's best interests are? Absolutely. It's not about a civilization that's going to be completely polarized to think, oh, my God, all these reptilians are going to blow up our planet. No. It's that there are certain rogue groups that represent a dominance agenda.
All right. We have to take a break. We will be back right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted you're here. And my sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away during that first hour. We're glad you're here now, though. We're talking with Brad Johnson. And Brad, when we went away, we were talking about the fact that there are all different kinds of races of extraterrestrials. Or maybe we should say species or civilizations. Here on Earth, we would say ethnicities. But some of them are reptilian. Some of them, you said, are feline. Earlier, you said there are many that are just like us. So here's a question. What about Adranus? What is Adranus? Well... We're not hearing you, and I don't know why we're not hearing you. So let me just check and see if you're still with us. Are you still with us? No, he is not. Well, we lost him. We'll try to get him back here and see if we can continue this conversation. Because we're getting deeper and deeper into stuff that I think is probably really, really mind-bending. Okay, are you with us? We can hear you, but for some reason, that's not going to work. Let me call you again. The telephone system is for some reason deciding not to cooperate, so we'll call you again. This is crazy, huh? Here we go. Let's try it again. But I think this is getting into some stuff that's deeper and deeper into some stuff that we really do want to hear about. And we need to hear about.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Ah, we got you back. Yeah, I don't know why, but anyway, there it is. When we went away for break, you were telling us that there are all these different races of extraterrestrials. Some are reptilian, some are feline, some are just like us. And I guess there's lots of others, too. And there are some that are good and some that are not good in terms of relations with us. What about Adranus? What is Adranus?
Yeah, when I first had some form of contact with him that related to just kind of a visual appearance of what he appeared as, it was very, very human-like. He appeared what looked like as a very tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed being. Wearing this kind of silver, I guess you could say, well, I don't like to use the word spandex, but it was almost very, very similar to that. Very, very silver in design, and of course a lot of blue outline stripes that go down his arm. But, you know, really what he is that he's a light body consciousness, so really he can take a lot of different forms based upon that, because you are literally light, you're not, you know, suppressed through flesh. And so what has happened also is that people who have also been able to channel him, and by the way, I'm not the only person who has channeled him. I've channeled him through the way of vocality. There have actually been other people that have come up to me and have channeled him and have literally had these amazing experiences with him. They've literally had physical encounters with Adranus coming into their room, very, very similar to what I've described in regards to a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Syrian that was kind of not even really saying anything, just kind of having his mouth quiet and, you know, just kind of sending him these loving images, loving downloads as well, too. Some people have even seen him as kind of flying orbs of light as well, too. I've had about four or five people that have had physical encounters with Adranus. So, I mean, if you were to put a way on it of trying to describe exactly, you know, what he looks like, it really is a light body consciousness, but through me, and I can just vouch for myself, he has been very, very human in form.
When you say tall, how tall are we talking about?
Approximately about 7 feet, I'd say.
Yeah, that's pretty tall. That's pretty tall.
If you were to look at a lot of the ancient cultures, I guess there's a lot of ancient skeletons that they've dug up in the past have literally been well over 10, 15, 20 feet tall. So, I mean, there really were a lot of tall humans back in the days that relate to a lot of these skeletons that are being unearthed. So in that sense, that kind of tells you a lot of these beings, in that sense, they're exponential size, but they're just shows how big of a heart they have, really.
Okay,
in that context.
Now, where Adranus lives in the Sirius star system, where he resides, is he the only one of his kind? Are there others? Is there a civilization of them?
But it's really challenging to try and put it into terms of how many there are. It really is that they are existing almost as a pool of energy in that sense, because again, forms themselves can always change in their different ways. But I mean, there is a population to where he exists. Literally, he has explained that his planet itself is literally this big ball of energy, this sphere of energy. And really, where he is, there is no sense of linear time progression. It's very, very non-linear that he is actually able to function in many different dimensions at the same time. And so basically, it's almost like looking at a honeycomb with all these cells that hold all these different realities all together at once. And the way that he has described it is that he is able to access many of these different realities at the same time. So if you're to look at it in that context, there really isn't an origin point to him. It's just that he is, in that sense, many different areas at the same time, represented based upon his desire to be in those locations, those realities, those dimensions. So again, that's more of the context of linear, or rather non-linear, in comparison to linear time.
So does he view himself as a god?
No, not at all. He would not even say anything of that context. He says, you know, really who we are is no different than you are. We're just looking at it in the way that Adronis has put it, is that he's just sitting at the top of the mountaintop and he's looking at the valley below. He's just, you know, in that context, just as you are, just as spirit, just as energy. And you may be down the valley right now looking at only a perspective from the lower ground, and he's just up in the higher ground saying, okay, well, here's something. If you want to go to the grocery store, just go ahead a little bit, turn right, go straight, and then turn left, and you'll be at your destination. Doesn't mean in any way you're superior. It's just in the way that you're looking at it in a different perspective that shows you more of the grand picture rather than the idea of feeling of being down the valley and lost and not too sure of where you're going. So it is not at all a superiority complex at all in that sense. It's just something in regards to a different perspective. Again, like talking about the spectrums of ultraviolet and infrared, you may have a person who sees infrared. Is he more superior to you? Not at all. He's just looking at things in a different perspective, in a different spectrum.
Do you... Is this something that is pretty much a full-time endeavor for you, or do you have a day job?
This really has moved into a full-time endeavor for me right now. Beforehand, yeah, I was working a little bit part-time. I was doing a lot of gardening and groundskeeping on the side. I was even helping out with a little bit of, little tasks here and there. Of course, helping out with web design and graphic design, because I do that as well. But right now, as of this very moment, this is starting to move into full-time. And for the couple of years past, it certainly wasn't. It was something that I was doing on the side, and it was really a passion of mine to really do this full-time. But I just really had to get my life together, so to speak, and just really stabilize myself, because I was still going through a lot of issues that, you know, I was still trying to cleanse out of myself and, you know, get to understand as well, too. So just recently, this is starting to move into a full-time commitment.
Okay, so how does this turn into a full-time commitment? I mean, what does your day look like? I mean, is it meditation all day, or?
Oh, no.
What do you do?
Basically, what happens is through my website, people actually contact me, and I do perform live readings and live sessions with Adronis in a private session through Skype. And so the last week or two has literally just been jam-packed. I just finished doing the tour with Portal to Ascension in California, where I met you at the Alchemy event. And, of course, we were doing what's known as the Galactic Remembrance Tour. And just met a lot of people, a lot of incredible people that have kept in touch with me, and are, I guess you could say, repeat clients that come to me and talk to me, and they want to have a private session with Adronis, or they want me to access their Akashic records, or they want to assist in healing. They want to look at some of the products I'm offering on my website. And so it really just has been bustling with activity in that sense. And so this has really kept me busy a lot recently. As far as meditation goes, I don't really do too much meditation much anymore. I do it every now and then, but I think what's happening right now is that I'm kind of phasing past the idea of meditation. If I feel that there's a real strong need for me to do it, then I'll do it. But I think what's happening is that there's an instantaneous knowing going through. It's almost like when you're trying to get into this state of meditation and you're trying to receive insight. I'm literally getting to that point right now where it's almost like a conscious meditation. It's like what you would call conversation as meditation in that sense, that through a conversation you're literally in a meditative state, attempting to slow your pace and make yourself very, very communicative and understandable in what you're attempting to convey. So if you're kind of moving into a conscious equilibrium of meditation rather than having to go deep inside yourself in that meditative state. So that's basically how I could put it in that context. But in regards to busy schedules in that sense, this is just starting to pick up with a lot of the work that I'm doing, that I have been doing through the Alchemy event and through Portal to Ascension and the Galactic Remembrance Tour.
At the Alchemy event, one of the topics that kept coming up but didn't get discussed very much was 2012. Mm-hmm. It did get discussed, you know, but it was sort of, we'd have to say in brackets, you know, it was discussed within the context of someone else's presentation. In other words, you had the George Norrie 2012 panel, so it got discussed during that period of time, but it would sort of just get honorable mention within all these other presentations. It wasn't the focus of the presentations as much as it was just one of the things that got mentioned. So let's talk about 2012. What does Adranus say about 2012? Is this going to be, is this the end? Is this the Earth Buster? It's over? Are you with us? Well, I don't know why, but we lost Brad again. Brad, are you still with us? No, he's not. And yet, the phone system is showing that he is. Are you there, Brad? Well, okay. We will do this again and see what happens. It's so frustrating when this happens, and it's no longer the norm. There have been times when it has been the norm, but for some reason tonight, it just doesn't want to play. I don't know. All right, well, we'll use the other telephone line then and see what happens and see if we can get Brad on the other telephone line. Well, one ringy-dingy, we'll see. I don't know what's happened, Brad. I've put you back on the original phone line we had you on, but it's very, very weird. But anyway, the question is, what, if anything, does Adranus say about 2012?
Yeah, 2012 definitely represents a convergence time. There's a lot of what is happening right now that represents kind of a convergence into reality based upon the frequency of how one, in that sense, operates on. So if you really are in a space to where you're not really too worried about, you know, what the government's doing, what about this chaos, what about this fear, if you're really rising above that fear, basically what's happening is you're going to accelerate in a path, a frequency that represents more of the energies that you are emotionally broadcasting that represent that of a whole new reality. It's not about the planet Earth blowing up. It's not about, you know, Earth being destroyed by the power elite and all that stuff. Really, and again, I'm just really, from my own perspective, the power elite really is on the way out, and it really is all about us kind of writing out the residuals of what they're doing. And, you know, a lot of people who want to create that fear and are still want to ride with that fear in some form, that's going to come to some type of culmination. If you really do dive so much into fear and the negativity and the hate, you know, really all you're going to do is just experience more and more of that. And so it's really coming to a convergence, a culmination point to whatever we feel is valid through our own emotions and through our own energies itself. That will become the norm of our reality based upon how we're behaving, how the frequency that we're emitting is literally going to interlock with that emotional state and create our own reality in that sense. And so you will interact, for someone who is very, very loving, would be able to tie in and interact with other beings of like mind. For someone who is very, very hateful and fearful, would be able to tie into that more and more, into that feeling of context and that reality. And so you could say it's almost like a splitting of worlds, that what's happening is that those who are in the fear vibration are in that fear vibration, kind of in that dense earth. The ones that are moving more into the state of self-responsibility, the state of love, moving more into the context of going into that earth, that represents that love frequency. And so it is almost like a split in regards to vibration, as we talk about in emotional energetics.
Okay, you were at the Alchemy event, and at the Alchemy event, we heard Princess Nakamura. I don't know, did you get...
I actually wasn't there at that point.
But. Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. You know, she says that. She says that what's going to happen is that on December the... this she's giving this in the dates that you would have in Japan. So on December the 22nd, which will be December the 21st on this side of the world, she says that the Earth will move into a, I think she called it a photon belt.
Okay.
And she said there's going to be such energy in this belt that for 3 days and nights, there'll be no light here on the planet. All the electricity will go out. And she said that, but 3 days and nights, and then everything comes back on because we will have risen through that belt. And she says that what's going to happen is that all the people, she calls them dark-hearted people. She says the dark-hearted people will, in a sense, be sort of sucked out of here and onto another planet. It's an Earth that they'll never know the difference. It looks just like the Earth. And that's what they wanted. That's what they get. And all right. People that are not dark-hearted, we come through all of this with an Earth that is in a higher vibration. Everything looks the same to us. But all of these dark-hearted people are gone from our existence. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, basically, what I've come to understand is that everything happens through transition. I mean, it's really, really good if you feel that this is instantaneously going to happen. Unfortunately, from my perspective, it really just isn't the case. Everything really is happening in a transitional level. Like right now, in this very moment, we're starting to see a transition occurring, starting to see that there's a lot of divisions occurring, and we're starting to see that, you know, we're opening up to new expansive possibilities. That comes from a transition. And so a lot of people want to see an instantaneous thing where all of a sudden December 21st, 2012 hits, and all of a sudden a snap of a finger comes in and we got this big snap of light and all bad guys are gone and all of the good guys remain. That's great. That's not personally what I see. What I personally see is that everything really happens through a transitional process, and that for anyone that represents a lot of that fear vibration, that want to use people, that want to move into that alignment itself, they, through transition, kind of phase themselves out of reality. But it's not something that's an overnight quick fix. It really is something that where you are right now, and the real big important thing here is that whatever you really want to pursue, when you're looking past all drama, when you're looking past all these conflicts itself, you really need to ask yourself that one big question. What is it that I really want to experience, what I really want to create? And it's through that particular form of higher vibration of that expansive consciousness that will bring you into a plateau through transition of the Earth you want to see. So that's basically what it is. I mean, true, there is a splitting of worlds happening, and there is this people who are really, really into fear will remain more into your vibration on Earth like that. Those that are into love will really move into a love vibration like that. As far as the 3 days of darkness, I really can't say on that. There have been a lot of speculation onto that. I really do not believe it's 3 days. I think if anything, it would probably just be a few hours. If anything, I don't even know if that would even happen. It really depends. I mean, everything is really, really changing right now. Everything is just accelerating by leaps and bounds. And so there really is no way to accurately predict what is going to happen. It certainly is an assumption, and that's fine. But again, you never really want to worry about what does December 21st, 2012 hold. You want to look at right now and saying, what does the now moment hold? What do I want to create right now? Where do I want to go right now? Because you're not creating in December 21st, 2012 yet. You're creating right now. And so it's simply a matter of looking at the road where you are right now to see where you want to journey.
Yeah. See, that's exactly my view. That there is, you know, the future is not a destination out there far away. It's right here between your eyes. And every nanosecond that comes was the future one nanosecond before.
That's right. Absolutely.
And so if we want to change the future, we don't need to look out there and try to work on something that's out there somewhere. It's right here between our eyes. That's where the future is, and you fix this.
And it's like Adorno has said, is that the future really are side effects. They're created through the idea of functioning in the continuity of this reality. It's like, oh my God, I did this yesterday. I might do this tomorrow. Well, what are you going to do right now? Are you going to create right now? This is exactly what matters, is this very moment. And what you define yourself to be happens right now. It's not tomorrow, and it wasn't yesterday. It's right here, right now.
Do you think that Adranus knows what is going to happen in 2012?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really not for his business to tell us, because it's almost like taking a present and putting it right in the kid's lap and saying, oh, well, here you are, you got a big truck in this thing, don't even bother opening it, I already know where it is. You know, you're spoiling the surprise. Really, from their perspective, they really know what's going on. They're well ahead of the game. But, you know, they really can only play in the context as an observer to really give you a little bit of tidbits here and there. And that's really the point of a mentor. If you really look at a lot of these spiritual teachers in the ancient East, a lot of them aren't going to tell you exactly what your path is or what you're going to experience tomorrow or next week. They're just there to kind of give you that observational understanding so that you can grow in yourself and see exactly where you're headed by what you're creating right now. So in that sense, that shares a similar context.
So has your contact with Adranus removed from you any possibility of fear about 2012?
Absolutely. I have absolutely no fear of the future whatsoever. Because the thing is, I'm so busy creating right now. I'm just enjoying right now talking to you on this radio show. That's awesome, by the way. I'm just having a blast, you know, just living life and just being exactly who I want to be. Mm-hmm. Not about, oh my God, the new world order, or I should say the old world order, that really wants to do this and do that, or what's going to happen here, or what's going to happen tomorrow, etc. I'm not really worried about that. You know, it's a natural cycle that the Earth is going through in this particular form of progression. And really all your responsibility is to live your life to what you feel is appropriate for yourself. All these particular systems that relate to conflicts, that relate to drama, are self-destructive. They don't exist until you really see past them and see exactly they were just an archetype. They were just self-destructive. They're on their way out. And, you know, all you're really doing right now is getting to know more of yourself, because this reality that we know that's external is being projected from within. And so when you get to know more of yourself from inside, you're not really too concerned about what's happening outside.
All right, one thing that's happening outside is we have to take a break. And we shall do so and return right after this. Listening to the Kevin Smith Show, and this is Kevin Smith. We are talking this evening with Brad Johnson. Now, Brad, let's talk again about reality. Because something occurred to me just as we went to break, and that is, there are people, we've already talked about this, there are people who are sensual in terms of their definition of reality. Their five senses are reality. If they can see it, touch it, smell it, taste it, hear it, then it's real. Outside of that, they think it's not reality. However, I've also noticed this, Brad, and I bet you have too. There are people who, once they sort of get into this path of, I think you would call it enlightenment, this path of spiritual awakening, begin to think that this world and the stuff around us is not real.
Yep.
And that is the exact flip side of the first group. This is real. It's just not all that's real. Mm-hmm. And then when people get into this sort of spiritual mindset, if they look at all of the things our five senses can detect and say, well, that's not real, that's as unreal as the first group. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's exactly how a lot of people do view it. Is the one group wants to see that everything that they see, touch, taste, smell, and hear is what's considered real. And if you're looking into meditative states, or if you're looking into dream states or astral projections, oh, that's just a bunch of nonsense. That's a bunch of hooey, you know. It's about what's real right in front of you right now. But the thing is, if you're really looking into the context of reality, everything truly is an illusion. It's the experience that is real. It's exactly like, how do we go into the bank and we realize that we're cashing a $1,000 paycheck that literally brings us a lot of excitement? We know that that paycheck is, completely illusionary. We understand that the monetary system is completely illusionary, and that, you know, the bank itself, everything that's contained in that environment is completely illusionary. It's certain particular types of electric structure that's vibrating at a very, very low resonance to create solidity. But it's through that experience of saying, oh my goodness, I'm cashing a $1,000 check. Now I got a good payday coming. Now I'm going to go and party the night away. That experience is real. And so that's really the context, is just kind of looking at the balance between both. You know, one person feel that everything that see, smell, taste, touch, and hear is real, and another person who says, you know, it's, everything is an illusion, but you're coming to the premise and agreement that the experience itself is real. And so everything that conducts itself as it needs to, whether you're getting a paycheck, whether you're going on a date, whether you're getting a job that you're so excited about, It's the experience within the illusion that creates the authenticity of that reaction. The reaction itself creates the real itself. It's kind of, you're looking back into The Matrix, you know, the movie The Matrix, where they're talking about, you know, reality and how everything really isn't here, and that, you know, I'm not really eating this steak, or I'm not really eating this, but it's the experience itself that creates the reaction. And so in that particular premise, you really want to look into the idea of the experience rather than the idea of the nuts and bolts of physical reality.
I'm not sure I buy it. And I don't have to. And you would not expect me to you expect me to have free will. Because I don't think it's an illusion if there's a Mack truck coming down the highway and you stand there. It's not an illusion what's going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's very real what's going to happen to you.
Yeah, but then understand that your physical body itself just is a tool, is a conduit, is a construct, that you yourself may get hit by that truck, yes, but that's not the end of you.
Well, I understand that, and that's part of reality too.
There's
but
a whole new opening to that. Yeah.
Well, I understand that, and that's not the end of you. Well, that's part of the reality, but also the fact that your body is going to be mangled by this truck is a reality too.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. But again, that generates the experience of being mangled by a truck. Maybe you barely survived that, and maybe your experience right then, of course, is looking to recover after that horrid experience. But again, it's about what the experience brings, because that's the essence of life. Everything else really just is a prop. This body is a prop. Me sitting on this chair is a prop. Me, you know, talking to you and having this conversation through this technology is a prop. And what we're doing is we're just looking into the essence of the experience that it brings us through.
Well, I think I can buy that.
You're sitting down.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. When you're sitting down and you're watching a play and all that stuff, it's really, really enticing. The drama is so unique. But you're looking at the essence of how that captivates you. When you're in an orchestra and they're playing the most beautiful violin you can ever imagine, and it brings you into tears. that's the experience. Now, of course, you can always look into the nuts and bolts and, oh my goodness, that's the way that they play the violin at such amazing intervals, blah, blah, blah. But the experience carries the feeling. And that's exactly what I always look for, just from my perspective.
So then it's the manipulation of, it's the manipulation of reality, or let me change it. It's the manipulation of the props that creates various experiences, and you're saying the experiences then are what we should call reality.
Well, you're functioning within a co-creation, because if you were the only person that was here on this planet, then you would be the one that would literally be able to instantaneously manifest whatever you want. You want to manifest a chair out of dirt, all right, go right ahead, because there's no other particular form of conflicting co-creation to bring that in. But since there's 7 billion of us on this planet, we're all sharing different forms of thoughts, and we're still acting on behalf of the collective consciousness. And so there are filters that it's almost like a chain effect when you have a bunch of gears. One gear has to turn, and all the other corresponding gears have to turn in unison. And so it has to do with versionized ideas. So just looking into Nassim Haramein, exactly what he talks about in that sense with his physics, as well to explain this very, very greatly, that we are really all part of versions of what we want to create that make up our world.
You deal with the Akashic Records.
Yes, the Akashic Records, yeah.
What is that?
Well, you could best define it as an infinite cosmic library. You can almost look at it as the internet that truly deals with the universe, to where all information is stored. If you're very, very familiar with remote viewing, this is exactly what they do. They access what's known as the collective unconscious. And it's through remote viewing where you're literally staying in structure, to where you're accessing a person, place, event, or thing. You're basically staying in structure, and everything is technical data. You're just jotting down spontaneously, almost as if you had a brain in your hand, writing down all this information in regards to certain forms of categories that you're trying to, of course, not having any particular form of logic attached to it, not looking to have any type of emotional attachment to it. You're simply drawing down data. So in that sense, remote viewing accesses what's known as the collective unconscious, or the Akashic Records. And so basically it is, you know, Akashic is simply Sanskrit meaning ethereal. So it's the ethereal records itself. It's where everything is really stored beyond space and time.
Who's doing the storing? Who's doing the cataloging?
The universe. Everything that is. All that is.
So is the universe a living entity itself?
From my perspective, the Earth itself is a living being. The galaxy itself is a living being. All other galaxies are a living being. But what's really, really important to understand is that reality is by interpretation. You know, everyone will always have their own interpretation of how things work. And that's great, because you know what? Anybody whose different opinion is different, it's just as valid and it's just as beautiful as anything else, you know, whether it be negative or whether it be positive. We're all giving ourselves expressions. We're just bringing ourselves what we feel equals validity in that sense. And you know what? It's all valid, because the universe itself truly is that of unconditional love. It will accept the idea if you absolutely hate it to death. It will accept that because it's unconditionally loving to that point. So again, reality is by interpretation.
Okay, but now you said the Earth is a living being, the galaxy is a living being, all other galaxies are living beings. But all of these other galaxies, with all of their many billions and trillions of planets out there, make up what we call the universe. So then, is the universe actually a living entity?
Yep. Truly, everything from that context of looking at universal structure, everything truly is alive. Everything truly is sentient in that way. It's just that, you know, the human itself wants to make it feel that, you know, okay, well, we're alive because we're walking around and we're interacting with each other. But really, again, look at all the ways of different forms of communication of how things can interact. Just because the Earth can't grow a set of lips and talk to you in English, it doesn't mean that it's not alive. You know, it's the same with the galaxy. Just because it's not growing a set of lips doesn't mean that it's not alive and it's not talking to you. It's not about the idea, my goodness, does it breathe oxygen? Does it do this? Does it have motor functions? Does it have a heart, etc.? It's beyond that. It truly is consciousness. Consciousness itself is the essence and the imbuement of how everything can be created, how everything functions together from the microcosmic to the macrocosmic, together in unity.
Have you spoken with Adranus, and has Adranus spoken with you about Mars?
To some extent, yes.
What did you find out?
Well, there are certain things that he has admitted about Mars. There wasn't too much in regards to a massive amount of context, but he has agreed that there are underground bases that exist on Mars. And there's actually several different races that exist within those underground bases. And that Mars was once habitable. It was very, very similar to Earth, but of course went through a very large catastrophe a very long time ago that rendered a lot of the life on the planet habitless. I guess you could say uninhabitable. And so what's occurring on Mars right now is basically subterranean bases to where a lot of these different races, as well as humans from planet Earth, interact.
So there are humans from planet Earth living there.
That's right.
Has he told you how many?
It's ranged within the thousands. There hasn't really been an exact number. He says, but there literally are thousands and thousands of humans, all part of, I guess you could say, you know, really, really deep covert operations from the governments within governments that have literally transported them from Earth to Mars.
Are they there willingly, or are they prisoners?
Sorry?
Are they there willingly, or are they prisoners?
Oh, that's a good question. I really haven't even answered that. I'd imagine I believe it's probably a mixed bag. So people who are very excited about going to Mars, and some who may not be at all. There's actually a person who I work with on the tour, Laura Eisenhower, who was talking about the idea of her, you know, the option to go to Mars herself, and she turned it down.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of other particular Black Ops community members that have talked about Mars as well, too, or being on Mars, and that some people found it was quite joyful. Some people thought they would never go back again. So I guess it really is, in that sense, a mixed bag of feelings.
Would you go if you could?
Sorry?
Would you go to Mars if you could?
Would I go to Mars? I think I'm too happy on planet Earth to go to Mars right now. So I think to me, it's just where I am right now is where I'm supposed to be. So that's where I feel I would be on Earth.
Well, I'll tell you, if I had the opportunity to go to Mars, I think I would have to say, yeah, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, send me back some Polaroids.
You know, and the reason is I just want to know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know. I want to, if I was given the opportunity to go there and experience it for myself, I think I would have to do it. Even if they told me it's a one-way trip, I might just have to do that. Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like fun, nonetheless. But I think it's very, very interesting because actually a funny thing was that I was looking deeper into some of your videos on YouTube today.
I hate to do it. We have to step away. We'll talk about videos on YouTube when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall be back right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach. That means we only have a few minutes left in tonight's show. My guest this evening is Brad Johnson. Brad, when we went away for break, you were just about to tell us about looking at something on YouTube today.
Yeah, I was actually just looking at your YouTube channel, and I just made a very, very interesting discovery in regards to one of your favorite stories back in 2009, where you're talking about Dr. Filipov.
Yeah.
And in regards to what had happened with him. What was very, very interesting is that I've always been a very avid listener to Project Camelot and David Wilcock. And basically what they were saying in November of 2009 was that there was supposed to be this very large ET disclosure that was supposed to be taking place in the United States in regards to media press conferences, and that this was supposed to happen. And several different human-like extraterrestrial races would actually be coming forward in this media press conference to actually answer questions. And so when I was looking at this video in regards to Dr. Filipov and what he was stating as well, too, in regards to the reporters that were talking about this media conference with several of these ETs that were coming forward and answering over questions of what the scientists had to say, or were answering the questions in regards to the scientists, how it corroborated so closely, literally 4 days apart, because they said that November 27th was going to be that day, and how this occurred within Bulgaria. You know, within me, it was an earth-shattering announcement. And I think this is just really showing to people that this is very real. You know, there are indeed a lot of ETs, incognito, so to speak, that look just like us, that can literally walk right past us and we would not know the difference. So, I mean, it's just amazing to get that kind of collaboration from two entirely different sources to come so close together in a day that's really just days apart.
Are you an ET?
Sorry?
Are you an ET?
Am I an ET?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if I was to look at it esoterically, I'm sure I've been from many other places. But right now, in this body, I'm very human. And, of course, there's no way I can prove that, but other than my own personal assurance.
Okay, let's. I had started talking about Mars. There's a reason for that. And the reason is you earlier mentioned a connection of the black ops people with all of this stuff of higher consciousness that we've been talking about. What's the connection? What are black ops doing with higher consciousness? How are they related?
I think a lot of the, I guess you were to look into the programs in that sense. I think there's usually a prevention in regards to trying to understand more about higher consciousness. You know, it's so to speak that a lot of those people that sit on top of the pyramid really do know about this and are attempting to prevent any of this knowledge through from people trying to expand themselves to really know that there's an infrared and an ultraviolet. You know, and so a lot of the black ops community that are kind of just sitting in and really listen to this, I think they're really just in a battle with their conscience, and they're really looking, you know, why doesn't humanity know this? Why can't we, you know, share this information with people? You know, I've had a lot of connections with ETs, and, you know, I think a lot of it, no matter what, beyond my own duty of being a military officer, I think this is something that the public needs to know. And so I think it's that driving force of the black ops themselves, in that sense, really do know more, so much more, than what they're even wanting to publicly share. But again, they're really scared to death. They're absolutely terrified of feeling that if they go forward too much, that, you know, not only do they feel that their lives are in jeopardy, but people that they really dearly love. And so it really is a judgment call in knowing exactly how much they do know and the comfort zone to how much they're willing to share.
In essence, then, they are afraid of people just like them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very bad place to be.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so what does Adranus say about disclosure?
Well, it's going to happen in chunks, I guess you could say. It's going to happen in pieces, kind of like when you're nursing a baby. You're not going to feed a baby a gigantic, you know, meal right away. You got to, you know, put the baby food together and you got to nurse it together. So it's almost like just trying to travel one rung at a time. And there's just certain things that are looking to be disclosed right now, and it's almost like there's a heavy filtering of saying, oh, we're not ready for that yet. And so we'll give some very, very subtle things like that. The U.S. Department of Defense or something like that will release a few documents, or, you know, the U.K. in that sense will release a few documents. But I think what's happening is because there's so much of an intention for people out there to want to know the truth, that this is literally going to catapult it to the next rollout. And so it happens through a very strong transition, and who really knows how far that transition is going to take us. But right now we're just kind of really being spoon-fed and nursed these particular forms of, you know, admitted disclosure, one rung at a time. But I mean, if you really want to look at very, very close to the truth of what's going on, people tune into you and they see things that are just so exponential that you would not see in the mainstream. And so it's really based on the premise of someone who really wants to look at alternative media, because really the alternative media is the true media. Whereas you're looking at mainstream media, you might as well be enjoying waiting for mold to grow on bread, because, you know, there's just so much filtering that's involved with that. So if we're really looking at the transitional part of going up that ladder, you look to alternate media like the Kevin Smith Show to really look at what's really going on, because you hold a lot of value and a lot of important information for people to know about.
Well, you know, that's true. And we do some things. For instance, in our members' community, people can watch the show. Now, when we go to break, on the radio, they just hear music. But in the members community, people who are watching the show, they don't see commercials trying to sell them something, but they see all kinds of little vignettes that have messages to them. And one of them shows, one of them that I showed tonight, we have two astronauts talking about the human space flight program of NASA. In the context of talking about that, they say, we're going to go back to Mars. Two separate astronauts, two separate occasions, they say that. And then we have the Associate Administrator for Space Operations at NASA, who says the same thing while talking to BBC television, that we're going to go back to Mars. And if people, and the commentators never comment on it. They never pick up on it. But if people are listening, if they're paying attention, they hear them say, back to Mars, in the context of the human spaceflight program. And so when you say we're going to go back to Mars, you're telling us we've already been there.
That's right.
And so, yeah, there are huge disclosures, but they're made in really subtle ways.
It's heavily camouflaged. It's like taking that makeup and just putting it all over your face and saying, well, let's not expose the bare truth. Let's put all this makeup on and let's really camouflage this face. You know, they'll say it just in a very, very brief stint about going back to Mars. Okay, now let's move on to sports. What's happening next? Mm-hmm. And they really want to cover it up and just a pin of the idea before, you know, putting a lot of that camouflage makeup on.
Yeah, it's exactly what happens. Okay, tell folks what your web address is.
Yeah, you can check out my website. I do a lot of private sessions with Adronis, Akashic readings, healings as well, too. You can do www.areyouselfempowered.com, and it's spelled AreyouSelfEmpowered.com, areyouselfempowered.com. You can also go to portaltoascension.org to check out our tour. It's coming up here in January. We'll be in California and in New York, and of course I'll be sharing a lot of this information on the road there. That's portaltoascension.org and areyouselfempowered.com, and you can always drop me an email at info@areyouselfempowered.com.
Outstanding. I want to thank you for being with us this evening. We've run out of
time.
Thank you
very much, Kevin.
Look, stay on the line with me. And I want to chat with you for just a moment after we go off the air. Well, there you go, folks. There's Brad Johnson. You want to check out his videos. Absolutely hilarious. Don't have the kids around when you do this. But great stuff, great comedy, and it has to do with a couple of alien figures. Really funny stuff. But also, you want to check out the website, areyouselfempowered.com. Be sure you avail yourself of the opportunity right now to get our members community membership. At $7.50 a month, you get the first 7 days for free. Now look, you can't beat that. All right, that's going to do it for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.